So, as you can see, we're going to continue on from our last lesson. And last time we talked about Jacob and we talked about Esau. And we talked about how God had told Rebekah, you will have twins. And the younger we see that in God's word was said that the elder would serve the younger. And so we see a decision there by God. And it's really concerning national Israel. But there's also a spiritual component to that as well. Because if you remember back, okay, so by way of introduction, let's go to the first slide here. We see that God had made promises to Abraham, didn't he? And that promise not only was made to Abraham, but it passed on to Isaac as well. Not Ishmael, but specifically Isaac. And you'll see that theme or that thought brought out. Okay, it's from Sarah's son Isaac. You see that in Galatians. We don't have time to look at that today. But if you want to read Galatians, certainly do and understand God's choice of Isaac. Okay, and it's from Isaac that we get Jacob. But it was by faith, right? Abraham pleased God because of his faith. The Bible even says that Abraham's faith was counted as righteousness. And that's used in Romans 4, and it's also mentioned in Galatians, and his faith is mentioned elsewhere, James and Hebrews, how he had faith and how he acted in faith. In the context of Romans 4, it brings that up in the context of us receiving salvation by faith. So it's not as some will say, well, it's just that it was just accounted to him for righteousness in that moment. Well, no. The idea is we receive by faith, we receive Christ's righteousness. Because if you look in the Bible, people will say, well, there's 150 to 160 different verses that say salvation is received by faith. Okay? It's by grace through faith. You want to compare scriptures with scripture anytime you get a chance to. And the thing is, you want to see how do you receive this salvation? How do you receive this blessing, this promise that was promised to Abraham? Remember, he said, in you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Okay? It's not just because, well, because Abraham did something right back then. No, it's because you, just like Abraham, can have faith in the Lord, can't you? You can trust him for your salvation. And so we are blessed as faithful Abraham was blessed. So we can receive that inheritance. But we see that God also had a choice that went along that lines. He had a chosen people. Okay? We know that's national Israel, the nation of Israel. And if you remember through scriptures, we haven't covered this yet in this study. But it goes through Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, and then Jacob's sons, and you have the 12 tribes of Israel. And so we see he has decided to work with his chosen people. We know eventually David came, and we know Christ came in the line of David. Okay, so right off the bat there, we see his chosen people of whom Christ came from. Okay, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so we're going to focus in on Christ today. But what I want to do also, we saw Abraham's faith. So that's key right off the bat. And we'll bring it around circle at the end of this lesson back to faith again. Because it's very important. As you saw maybe on the first slide, this will be part one on Romans 9. There's going to be a part two next week because we just can't fit all of it nicely into one lesson. I will bore you guys to tears or something. You'd be like begging me to stop, right? Because this book, we do have to settle down and look at it verse by verse. We have to understand what is going on here. Because I will say this by way of introduction, that many people misuse this chapter. In fact, they misuse many parts of Romans 9, 10, and 11. Okay. We have to understand that these three chapters are in reference to many things going on with the children of Israel. Okay. You have to keep that in mind. That's Paul's frame of reference right here for these three chapters. That'll help you make decisions as to what do these verses mean. Also, the context as we go down in order of the verses, you'll see things build upon each other. So he's building on an example. Last time we talked about, we did talk about the birth of Jacob and Esau, and the difference. They were twins, yet they were totally different. One was chosen by God to serve the other. And it was the other way around that we would think. We would think, well, the eldest is and the youngest is here, and the elder or the younger is going to serve the elder brother, right? That might have been what you would think, but no. That's not what happened. We saw that Esau sold his birthright. He despised it. And we'll look at that today. But there's a common misconception, because in this passage, it'll say, well, God loved Jacob but hated Esau. And they'll say, the word here is election, okay? And I don't care if it's Calvinists bringing this up or who it is. Maybe just Baptist or anybody, Presbyterian. It really doesn't matter what you call yourself. But if you think that God's election, quote unquote, okay, that term, is that God chooses, okay, from eternity past, who is going to believe and who isn't, and then makes them believe or waves a magic wand, so to speak, and zap, you're regenerated and now you're going to believe. Well, that's false. That's not in the Bible. That's not in these contexts. That's not in these stories. That's not what the Bible is getting at. Okay? But through the years, and even now, if you go on social media or you discuss this, even if you were to drive down to another church down the road, they might teach this passage here a very different way. You open up your Bible. I don't know if any of you have commentaries here today, study Bibles. You might read in some of those, depending on who the author is. It might say some things in some of these verses that we don't teach here at this church, that we don't believe. So you have to be very careful about that. If you listen to preachers or teachers on the radio, TV, they might not teach this the same way. But we have to understand, no, we're going to compare Scripture with Scripture. We're going to understand the context. We're not going to get off just because some theological argument was made or some professor says, and all these line of professors have said this, does it make it so? So we want to see, well, what is this election? What's involved? So we're going to touch upon that as we go through. Because, as I said before, when we're studying through Genesis, you really want to understand it's the book of beginnings. But who is God, and how does he operate with mankind? Now, that's a big deal. Now, think about it. For your salvation, wouldn't it be great to know, okay, if I'm concerned about my salvation, my eternal state, wouldn't I like to know, especially even the state of others around me, wouldn't I like to know who God is and how he operates, especially in terms of that, right? If you change that, and change those dynamics, and you start creating your own philosophies and other ideas and basing then your interpretations off that over here, well, you could get off. You can make everyone confused. You could become confused yourself. And that's what we want to avoid. So because we came across this topic and it's brought out here, I want to go ahead and get into that today. First, we see here that Paul had a concern. So I want you to go in your Bibles, and we're going to look right through Romans 9. We're going to start in verse 1 here, 1 through 3. So I'll give you a second here to turn. Romans 9, it says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. We see here that this is a true expression of Paul's feeling. I think it's remarkable that he has to start off by saying, hey, he's getting the readers to understand, this is really truly what I feel. This is what I believe. Okay, this is my heart's thought here. He's like, I lie not. I'm telling you the truth. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. So he's saying, what I'm telling you is true. And there's a great heaviness, sorrow. He said, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Have any of you been in that situation where you're just grieved to the heart for somebody else? You just wish you could be in their place and they could be relieved from the situation they're in. Well, this is Paul's mindset here. So understand that right off the bat. Okay, he is grieved right down to the core of his being, right in his heart, for them. Okay, and he wished in verse 3, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for who? For my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Okay, and so Paul is burdened for them. Okay, so let's go to the next thing. The people define. Who's he talking about? Verse 4, it says, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Verse 5, whose are fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. So these are the people here he's burdened for. They're Israelites, and it says here, adoption, covenants, promises, all of these things. And so the readers of this should have known, okay, these are the people. These are God's people. They receive the covenants. They receive the promises, all the prophecies, everything. The ones God had worked through over the years. So this is who Paul, likewise, has a burden for. These people after the flesh, okay, of the nation of Israel. And their fathers, and as I mentioned before in the introduction, their fathers through whom Christ came. So that's a special thing. That's no small deal. Okay? These are God's chosen people, the very chosen people of the lineage of Christ. And Christ came into the world. But they're in a state. Think about it. Why would Paul say all this? Is it because these people as a whole are right with God? In maturing and growing and loving the Lord and walking in faith? No. And as we'll see, there's unbelief. Okay? There's a problem. There's a separation. There's some that are at odds with the Lord. And Paul sees that they're accursed in a sense. And he's grieved by it. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 6. We see a contrast here. We see that there's something to do with being after the flesh, and that's compared against being after the promise. Okay, so there's a difference, or there's something here that you have to look at. Okay, it's not just that you're a Jew, you're of the national Israel. It says in verse 6, not as though the word of God had taken none effect. So it's not that the word was ineffective. That's not the problem here. Okay? There's something else going on. There's something else that happened. It says, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Okay? And you read that and you might think, well, what in the world does that mean? Okay? It's not double talk, but he's going to go on here and explain what that means. Says in verse 7, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Remember, Isaac was chosen specifically, wasn't he? It's through Isaac. You can't just be a physical descendant of Abraham. But remember, there was faith involved in that. Also, that is, in verse 8, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. So there's a playing upon this picture of there's those who were chosen for the seed of promise. It was Isaac, not Ishmael. And the idea, spiritually speaking, it's those who are by faith. But we see in verse 9 then, let's go on to verse 9. There had to be faith. But verse 9, God's promise was made to Abraham. Verse 9. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. As I mentioned, you can read about this choice more in the book of Galatians. But Sarah shall have a son. And we talked about this. Remember, they wanted a son so bad. Abraham wanted an heir that he married Hagar and had Ishmael before this. But no. When he was older, reaching 100 years old and older, he had this promise come to fruition with Sarah. Shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. So it passed on to them as well. And we saw that she was barren, and they prayed for her. And she gave birth, or she conceived and gave birth. And so this promise passed on to them. It didn't just stop with Abraham and that's the end. Nope, the idea was this would be a continual thing. And so here we see that this is the tie-in from last week. Rebekah had twins. She had Esau, she had Jacob, right? But one of those was chosen for this line of blessing, and one was not. Esau was not. He sold his birthright. He sold it for a piece of meat, so to speak. A piece of, or a pot of stew, however you want to think of that. He thought he was famished. He thought he was gonna die. He thought he was gonna, I just need this right now. And Jacob said, okay, you want this so bad? Sell me your birthright. And that's what he did. He despised his birthright that much that he was willing to, in that moment, be indulgent for a piece of food instead of what was more valuable, infinitely more valuable, was his birthright. So he traded that away basically for nothing. So we don't see faith in that, do we? So let's go to the next part. Verse 11, and this is where we're going to have to spend a little bit of time. So we want you to understand this. We're going to see God's election, God's purpose here. For the children, talking about Jacob and Esau, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, they hadn't done anything yet, they're still in the womb. They're just conceived, that the purpose of God according to election, there's that word there, election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. So God chooses this. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. So we see here that it's chosen that Esau will serve Jacob. That was God's choice. So part of this choice is in God actually choosing a national people. He's choosing this line, choosing these people. And there's national purposes and God's plan and program and all the rest for national, as we see Israel. Jacob later changes his name to Israel. If you read the stories, You understand that? Choosing national Israel. But we also see, and if we step back a second and remember Abraham's promise and remember all the rest, the blessing that comes with faith, just like faithful Abraham, okay, that seed according to the promise, there's a choosing also of God and its salvation through faith. He has decided how salvation is going to be received. He has decided how that you're going to become a partaker of this promise. Okay? And that's through faith. That's the idea. And we saw it confirmed with Abraham and with Isaac. And God said, yes, because you had faith, this will continue and this will go on. This will happen. And they were tested in different ways. And we see here, yes, today for us, it's by faith. It hasn't changed. It's still by faith, folks. It's by faith. It never says here, well, God made them believe. God pre-chose that they would obey him. God pre-chose that Abraham would have faith and made him have faith, and then he had faith, and then God blessed him. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what the Bible says. But there are those today who would have you to believe that based on this passage alone. It's almost as if they read this passage by itself and there's no other chapters in the Bible. Well, we have to understand that there are, folks. There are. The idea is he's choosing them for a purpose, and we'll see that. We'll see why. Verse 14. Some may question God and say, well, how is it God's right to decide anything like this? Why should God be able to do this? Well, we know he's the God who created the heavens and the earth. All things are under him. He has the authority. He has the power. He has the right. So we look at verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? No, God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So that's up to the Lord. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Okay? It's not about us, but God. God decides to choose show mercy. And it gives an example here. Remember, it's still in this context. 17. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh. So now we're on to Moses. We haven't covered Moses yet in this study. But if you remember, he dealt with Pharaoh, and he wanted them to let the people go. And it says here, for scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared through all the earth. We see that God has the ability to do this. He has the ability to raise up any ruler, okay, allow them to have power. But in this particular case, we see here it mentioned that it was allowed for what purpose? That I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout the earth. Think of the things that Pharaoh hardened his heart about, right? He hardened his will against God, against the people, and God brought plagues. God basically broke him. And there was a big sign of all of this that, hey, look, I am God, and you'll answer to me. I'm the boss of everything. You will let my people go. Or here's the consequence. And we know that he finally let the people go. But I guarantee you, God was glorified in all of that. Even when the sea crashed in upon them as they were chasing the people, God got the glory for all that. And it says again here, therefore he hath mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. There are people that will take that verse and say, well, because this verse about Pharaoh. It'll say, well, God will harden your heart, and over here, he'll zap you and make you believe and give you a soft heart. And so it's God doing this to you. Now, what was the purpose here? The purpose was nationally, right? And for a sign in God's testimony, and it was still Pharaoh's decision to harden his heart, wasn't it? And God allows it to happen. And folks, he can't allow it to happen, can he? He can allow you to harden your heart. You can decide to, and the Bible talks about this. It tells you not to, right? Grieve the Holy Spirit, right? Or like as in the day of provocation, those people in the wilderness and they tempt the Lord. And you can go off in unbelief and you can make the Lord angry. And you can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can spit in God's face. You can trample upon his grace. You can do it. God will let you harden yourself. Because he doesn't make you do one thing or another. Okay? He's not the master clock winder making you walk around like a robot. Okay? He knows that he wants you to choose to serve him, right? Choose to love him, choose to walk in faith. He gets glory from that. He doesn't get glory from making you be a puppet on a string. The Bible says, do not grieve. It means you can do it, but don't do it. It's an instruction not to. Okay? The idea is you can harden your heart against him, against God, against his purposes. But even if you do, he's still going to be shown as God. He'll still be glorified. You're the one that will receive the consequences for that. We know as believers, our consequence is never again going to be eternal damnation. We know we're eternally secure. You can face temporal consequences. You can face physical issues. Okay? You can face oppression and other things brought upon you by yourself because you didn't do things God's way. So we have to understand here that Pharaoh was raised up for a purpose. Don't let anyone take this verse and apply it directly to something else that it doesn't fit with your salvation, picking and choosing who's going to believe before they're born. We know that God doesn't do that. And if you actually look through the Bible and all the verses on election or any of that, you never see that mentioned specifically. I have a blog post where I go through many, many, many different verses. Go through all of them. It's not there. And they all, there's only a couple that even come even remotely close to it. But if you look at their context, you see clearly it's not that. That's not what it's talking about. You're going to see the faith tied in at the end of this chapter. Because I'll give you this by way of introduction. This says in verse 32, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. We see that as the conclusion we're going to look at next week. It wasn't the problem that these people weren't chosen by God to have faith. It's that they were chosen by God, but they decided to reject him, preferring works of the law versus faith, faith alone in him. That was the real problem. That's what happened here. That's what put them in the situation that Paul is originally grieved about to the heart. They're accursed and estranged from God, in a sense, because they sought him not by faith. That's what they should have done. So we see here a conclusion here. There are those physically after Abraham. There are those in the line physically of him, that lineage. There are those spiritually after Abraham, and that's a different group. Okay? We would include ourselves in that, right? Anyone who's a believer in Christ is similar as being spiritually after Abraham. Okay. Father Abraham had many sons. Well, if you ever sing that song with children, understand the many sons isn't just talking about physically, right? It's the idea of we're spiritually in Christ. But then God has the right to decide. He can decide about nations. He can decide about methods or how you're going to be saved. How are you going to please me? Here's the way. Okay, here's my son, Jesus Christ. Okay, receive him by faith. Okay? I'm graciously giving you salvation. You receive him by faith. Or here's a promise, Abraham. You receive this by faith, and you'll receive the blessing, and you'll have the rest. Right? He does not choose to randomly, I say, you and you go to hell. You, the rest of you over here, you can be saved, and you have no choice about the matter. You're just going to go through the motions like I pre-planned, and that's it. Nope. That's a counterfeit way of seeing God work in the Bible. And that's not what the Bible describes. We see here God has chosen Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, as opposed to who? Not Ishmael, not Esau, not Pharaoh, right? But we see, and that's in one sense, but then likewise, God has chosen blessing for those of faith. Okay. If you disobeyed God, and I've talked about this before, time and time again, when they disobeyed God, what did they receive? They received curse, didn't they? And affliction and all the other kind of suffering. Those who rejected him, what are they going to receive spiritually in the end? If you reject Jesus Christ, you deny the Lord, you deny anything to do with faith, and you enter eternity in your own condition, what are you going to receive? You're not going to receive a blessing. You're not going to receive or have inherited eternal life. Okay, it's going to be internal damnation. It's going to be something else. But it's going to be because of you, because of what you chose to do. Not because God made you go to hell, because you had no other option. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ was risen up, lifted up on a cross, that all, right, that all may believe, that all may be drawn to him. You're drawn to him and you deny it and you say, I'm not going to believe that. Well, guess what? You're not going to receive the salvation if you don't accept it by faith. And that's the point here today, folks. Will you accept his salvation by faith? Will you help others to understand that's how you receive it? That's how you receive this promise that was made to Abraham. Don't worry about how God chose this national people and the national purpose and twist that into salvation in a way it doesn't fit. Don't try to weave that into scripture. Keep things as they are, okay, steadily throughout, and you see that there's no contradiction here. God's purpose in election, don't let that throw you for a loop. Don't listen to theology professors who wax eloquent about twisting this around to their liking. Okay. The idea is that God has chosen blessing for those of faith. Aren't you glad today he's chosen to bless you with eternal life because you trusted in Jesus Christ, his son? I'm glad about that. Will you be so thrilled about that you'll share it with others? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for how Jesus Christ came and died for us on a cross. We know he was lifted up. We know we've seen him. We've trusted him, Lord. I pray if there's be any people here today who have not trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, that they do so this very moment. They do so today, trusting him for eternal life. We thank you for your purposes in electing national Israel, the purposes for them, and then the purposes of choosing people to serve you. Help us to be those who will serve you. You chose Jacob, you chose Isaac, you chose Abraham, Lord. But we know we are chosen in you if we have put our faith in you. We pray these things in your name. Amen.